The purpose of God at this particular time in the history of Israel was to raise up a man to be a blessing to the nation, one who would make a vital contribution to the overall good of God's ancient people. That purpose was carried forward through prayer. And again, I want to emphasize the importance of prayer at this time when we are looking to the Lord to take the work of God here forward in the congregation in Coleraine. When I think of the story of Samson, I recall that he was a child of promise. The Lord gave a promise to Manoah and his wife of a child. When I think of Samuel, he was a child of prayer. The God who ordains the end also ordains the means to the end. God was planning to raise up a man, and the method, the means for that to come to pass was prayer, through the power of prayer. Hannah became a happy mother in answer to prayer, but she never forgot the promise she made in the presence of God to dedicate her son to the service of God. You recall what she said there in verse 11, "Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life." And when that time came, when God had answered her prayer, we're told in verses 24 and 25 that she took him up with her. Took him up with her. She didn't send him. She took him up to the house of God. I think there's a lesson for parents even in this. And brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. Here's another lesson for us as well. And brought the child to Eli. And this refers to the official dedication or presentation of Samuel for the Lord's service. Now, to date in these studies, we have thought about Hannah's sorrow. We started that a long time ago. And then we thought about Hannah's supplication. We took 3 nights to deal with that. And now this evening, we want to think about Hannah's surrender. She dedicated her son to God. Now, it might be a good question to ask right now. Are you dedicated? Am I dedicated to the Lord? Yes, we may be saved, and that's good to know that, and we rejoice in that. But can we truly say before God, I am surrendered to him? He is my everything. He is my all. I am his, and he is mine. I have 3 short things I want to highlight tonight for your consideration. There's the confirmation of Hannah's surrender. Now, you will notice in verse 19 how the day began for Hannah. Look at it with me, please. And they rose up in the morning early. She was an early riser. And it's always good to get up early to worship the Lord. And that's exactly what they did, and worship before the Lord. And I find that deeply interesting, because the night of Hannah's mourning is ended. The word has been given by the high priest in verse 17. This was the word she got from God through Eli. Then Eli answered and said, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him." So she gets a word here of peace, and she leaves the matter in the care of God. That's a good thing for us to do. Whatever worry or care we may have, it's good to leave it with the Lord and to trust in him. You'll notice that in verse 7, there is a reference made to the house of the Lord. You see that in verse 7? She went up to the house of the Lord. This is all happening in the house of the Lord. And then if you look carefully at verse 19, you will read these words, "And they rose up in the morning early and went and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house." So in verse 7, it is the Lord's house. And now in verse 19, it's their house. And what am I seeking to get across to you now? First, she worshipped in God's house. Soon she was blessed in her own house. Do you see that? Do you see that? She worshipped first in God's house, and soon she was blessed in her own house. Do you remember that story in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, I think it's 29 and 31, the time when the disciples left the synagogue in Capernaum? They didn't leave Jesus in the synagogue. They took him home into Peter's house. And what a blessing was bestowed upon that household, because when they returned, they discovered that Peter's mother-in-law was suffering from a fever. And the Lord intervened in grace and brought healing to that woman, brought great blessing to that home. And the message that I want to emphasize is this: always bring Jesus home with you when you leave church. Don't leave him in the congregation. Don't leave him in the building. Make sure that you always take Jesus with you. It will make the difference. When you worship in God's house, give God his rightful place, then you can expect to be blessed in your own home for the praise and glory of God. So on the Lord's Day, when you congregate in the house of God, you worship him, you sing the hymns of Zion, you enjoy the preaching of God's precious truth, don't forget to take the Lord Jesus home with you and experience his rich blessing. Now, I mentioned this before, that, as you know, Hannah's husband was a man called Elkanah. And Elkanah means God is possessing or God is supporting. And the picture we have here is of the husband supporting his wife. And I mentioned before, we can see Christ as the head of the church, the bridegroom, and how he supports his church, his people, through difficult times. And as I was studying this afternoon, I have a chart with all the Hebrew alphabet on it. And I happened to be glancing down at it, and I came to the 15th letter in the alphabet. It's the word Samach. It's the 15th letter. And it's like a circle up there with a wee bit of an ear on it. Okay, a wee bit of an ear. And it actually means support. It means to uphold. It means to protect. Some of you who are familiar with working in the garden, it's the picture of a trellis, a framework of light wood or light metal used to support the vine or climbing plants. You get the idea. The vine, the plant that grows, gets support, you see, from the trellis. That's the picture we have here. And think about it again. A circle. It's a closed circle. And that has significance even in the Hebrew. It represents infinity. God is infinite. No beginning and no ending. Have you the support of the God who has neither beginning or ending, the one who upholds and supports and strengthens his people? It also resembles the wedding band. There it is. That's the circle again. The wedding band. It's a figure and picture of eternal love, unending love, unchanging love. The God of our salvation is a God of love. Unending love, eternal love, unchanging love. And the ring signifies a couple's commitment to each other. And I'm talking here about the commitment of Elkanah to Hannah in her barren state, in her difficult times. He was there supporting her. The ring has no beginning and it has no ending. You have the thought of the encircling that is constant. And this is just a little sidebar showing to us how the Lord cares for us. And at this point of time, the everlasting arms are around his people, underneath his people, surrounding us with that unchanging love. Christ loves the church despite her infirmities. What a wonderful picture we have even in the Hebrew alphabet. We're told here in verse 19 that they returned. They returned home. And that simply indicates to me that they committed the matter to God. And so they return home. They've left the issue with God. Hannah has prayed about these things. She's got a word from the high priest. She goes home. And she continues on seeking the face of God. And then the Bible tells us that Elkanah knew Hannah, verse 19. It's the same word that is used in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. It speaks of Adam knew his wife in an intimate way. the way a husband and a wife knows his wife to produce a family. That's the idea, that's the picture, that's exactly what happened. You think of this intimate relationship between husband and the wife. And when we read Romans chapter 8, what a tremendous chapter it is, verse 29. Paul talks about whom he did foreknow, or whom he did forelove. There's the thought of intimacy in a spiritual sense. Loved with everlasting love, led by grace that love to know, in a love that cannot cease, I am his and he is mine forever. Praise be the name of the Lord. And I don't know who loved who first, Elkanah, whether he loved Hannah first, maybe because of some feature, because of her beauty or character. I don't know. But I know this. We love him because he first loved us. And he loved us before an eternity past, if you like. Before the world ever began, he loved us. An unending, unchanging love. Christ chose us because of grace. And she remembered the promise that she had made as she stood there. And all that time, Eli thought she was drunk, but she was engaging in prayer. I will give him unto the Lord. Now, first of all, she wanted to get something from the Lord. And many times, that's the way it is with us. We want to get something from the Lord. But then the time came when she wanted to give something to the Lord. What was God wanting? What had she promised? A life. God has given us life. It's spiritual life. And as a result of that, he wants a life in return. He wants your life. And he wants my life. Hannah kept her word about consecrating Samuel to the service of God. She meant what she vowed. And as a result of that, because she wanted to honor the promise she had made, she brought him unto the house of the Lord, verse 24. Her actions therefore confirmed her promise. She brought him to Shiloh. That was the place she prayed for the son. And when you read this story, you will notice a few things about Shiloh. It was a place of desecration because Eli's two sons were the priests. They were two vile, sinful men. And they brought great desecration to the land. They misused the sacrifices that were brought and abused the woman who brought them. It was a place of desecration. But it was also a place of devotion because Hannah stood there in prayer. She sought the face of God. And then it was a place of dedication because she brought what she had prayed for and left it at the feet of the Lord and said, "Here I present my all to thee. What I prayed for." I think of the words of Paul in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. "I beseech you therefore, brethren," listen, "by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God." Now Paul's admonition to these Romans was to sacrifice themselves to God, not as a sacrifice upon the Jewish altar, as the law required the sacrifices of the animals, but as a living sacrifice. The dictionary defines sacrifice as anything consecrated and offered to God. And the offering of the body is a living sacrifice in contrast with the sacrifices of the Old Testament. For then, in Old Testament times, when the sacrifice was offered, the animal was slain. It was dead. Now, when the believer offers his body, he begins to really live. So when you read Romans chapter 12, there's a bit of a contrast between consecration to God and conformity to the world. The body of the believer becomes a vehicle through which the new life is manifested, a channel through which the righteousness of God is manifested. Totality of the consecration comes drastically to us through the language of the sacrifice. And the Greek translated to offer as a technical term used for the ritual presentation of a sacrifice. And so we have a Jewish man who's coming. He's coming to the Lord, before the Lord, He's coming to the gate of the tabernacle. He brings the animal to the priest. He lays his hand upon the head of the animal, and he confesses his sin. And the priest takes the sacrifice and offers that sacrifice as Christ. This consecration that God expects of his people is, thank God, a reality through Christ. Only through Christ, through his sacrifice, by his blood. We're to present our bodies. I wonder why Paul uses this particular term, your bodies. It refers to more than skin and bones, by the way. It signifies all that we are. The intellectual, the mind, body, soul and spirit, if you hold that view, or body and soul, body and spirit. It's the whole being. That's why he's talking here about your bodies. And the sacrifice refers to an offering being totally consumed. It's a picture of total sacrifice. It's not easy to do that, you know. It's not easy to say, Lord, here am I, send me. Very difficult. It's easier said than done. But this is what is required. And then we've got to think in the second place about the cost of Hannah's surrender. When Hannah came to dedicate her son, she brought 3 bullocks, 1 ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, verse 24. Now, what's this all about? Well, these were things necessary for the use in the worship of God. She brought the right things in order to worship God. Now, in the Authorized Version, it has 3 bullocks. Other versions have it a bullock of 3 years. And there's a reference to the age of the sacrifices Abraham brought away back there in Genesis 15, verse 9. He was to bring a heifer of 3 years old, a she-goat of 3 years old, and then a ram of 3 years old. But the fact that the parents took a skin of wine and an ephah of meal enough to accompany the 3 sacrifices, it suggests that 3 bullocks is the correct number. For 3/10 of an ephah of grain was needed for each bullock, Numbers 28 and verse 12. So it all depends whatever way you want to interpret it. One bullock or at 3 years old, that may have been around the age of Samuel, thereabouts, or 3 bullocks. We make conjecture that one was for the burnt offering, one was for the peace offering, and then the third one was associated with the person performing a vow. Now, whatever way you want to look at it, there's cost involved here. A bullock was a very precious thing. Consecration to God is always costly. An ephah in the Bible times, some commentators say, was 4.5 imperial gallons. Some say 22 litres. It all depends who you read, but that gives you an idea of what was involved here. And wine, it may have been a gallon, it may have been more than a gallon of wine. These were all to do with the offering, the meal offering, and the wine offering. You can read in the scriptures about these various sacrifices. But the point I'm emphasizing, it costs plenty. And that's the reason why so few people do dedicate themselves to God. One famous sporting personality said many years ago, this is, he was asked to go for prayer, and he included this in his prayer. Dear God, your will, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen. What a prayer to offer. Let me say it again. Dear God, your will, I would say thy will, but this is what he said. Nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. Amen. In the summer of 1986, 2 ships collided in the Black Sea off the coast of Russia. Hundreds died as a result of being cast into the icy waters below. And the cause of the accident wasn't a radar malfunction or thick fog or anything like that. It was human stubbornness. Each captain was aware of the other ship's presence nearby. Both could have steered clear. But according to news reports, neither captain wanted to give way to the other. They didn't want to yield. And as a result, it created difficulties and deaths. And sometimes that's the way it is with the people of God, with us. We can talk in general terms, but I'm applying it to myself. We don't want to yield. We don't want to surrender that little precious treasure that we have and hold on to dearly ourselves. And as a result of that, we lose out, and other people lose out as well. So there's a cost involved. And then I've got to come to a close. There is the completeness of Hannah's surrender. Now we're told in verse 24, the child was young. And the Hebrew literally says the boy or the child was a child. Now the word translated young in this particular verse can mean a child of any age up to 15. But I think the context supports an age of between 2 and 4 years of age. That's the way I'm taking it anyway. That is depending on exactly when Hannah weaned Samuel. For it says, for when she had weaned him, she took him up. And then she went on to say, I have lent him to the Lord. And that word lent, found in verse 28, means to give, or in the margin of my Bible, it means granted. It's found only one other place in the Bible, in the book of Exodus, chapter 12, verse 36, when the Egyptians lent the Israelites certain things. Now, did the Egyptians get those things back again? Not a chance. I said this before, when the people of Israel left Egypt, they were wealthy people. Now, we may think at times, oh, the poor people, they have nothing. Why they left, they were millionaires. Well, talking about the nation. Because all the jewels and all the various things used in the building of the tabernacle and all the animals that they needed for sacrifice, they were provided, they were lent to the children of Israel. They didn't get them back. God in his wisdom granted these things unto his people because they had been in bondage for many years, and this is the way God was repaying them for their slavery, and so they left and they were wealthy. And that's how they were able to erect such a structure as the tabernacle in the wilderness. You think of all the gold that was employed, and the silver, and the brass, all the garments, all those kind of things. God is no man's debtor. And so that's only our place. A loan may be reclaimed by a lender. And if any of you have a loan out, there's always someone on your back on the phone. Oh, we must get this money back at some point of time. That's the thought. But Hannah's surrender was complete. She gave her son to the Lord's service as long as he liveth. And that word lent, going back again, it involves more, and there's more in the meaning than what one sees in the service. For it really means to return that which has been obtained by petition. Hannah was giving back to God what the Lord had given to her. Jacob had a similar idea in Genesis chapter 28, I think it is verse 20 and 22. He said, of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Here's the tithing. Back in the Old Testament, tithe, and then you have the offerings and the gifts over and above that. So Hannah is supplicating before the Lord in the story. Eli's sons are sinning before the Lord in the story. And then as we come to the end, we can see Samuel, he's serving the Lord in the story. Everything is done before the Lord. We're at Shiloh. This is where I want to bring things to an end. Shiloh, rest. Christ. Christ is here. Shiloh was about 25 miles from Ramah, where Samuel was born, where he resided, where he died, where he was born, or where he was buried. And Samuel brought honor to the place where he lived. I wonder, can we say that we bring honor to the place where we live because of likeness to Jesus Christ? They slew a bullock, verse 25, the emblem of complete dedication to the Lord. Where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him. So 1,000 years later, or thereabouts, we have a temple scene. It's not in the tabernacle this time. We're in the temple. Another baby has been dedicated. His name is Jesus, Son of God. He's there, and he's been presented to the Lord. You think about the sacrifice that Mary and Joseph brought. We have it foreshadowed even in what happened to young Samuel so long ago. And he dedicated himself to the purpose of God. It led to a cross, an old rugged cross. It led to an atoning death to save us people from our sins. What a sacrifice. He made no greater sacrifice than this has ever been made. He gave us life. God gave a son. May not a single moment of my life be spent outside the light, love, and joy of God's presence, and not a moment without the entire surrender of myself as a vessel for him to fill full of his spirit and his love, said Andrew Murray from South Africa. And God is ready to assume full responsibility for the life wholly yielded to him. Yield your life to him, he will take care of you. He always does. He took care of the boy who was dedicated to him so long ago, and he has been doing that ever since. You put your life on the altar for God, you'll never be disappointed. Go through with God, your vows to pay, you're all upon the altar lay. The Holy Ghost will do the rest and bring to you God's very best. Hannah surrender. The confirmation of it, the cost of it, and the completeness of it. She gave her all. Now, she was able to get back from time to time to see the child. She didn't neglect him. And other ladies would have been in that area as well, and they would have seen to things. And she didn't forsake her son. She was there on occasions when he needed that attention. May God bless his word for his name's sake. Amen.